This time on The Real It Brief, Shraddha Kumar is in Toronto to sit down with Karen Wierzig, the Senior Programme Manager for Plastics at Environmental Defence. A recent poll shows that 86% of Canadians support federal action on plastics across all provinces and political affiliations. And we start our conversation today by talking about Canada's plastic policy gaps, public support for action, and the push for a stronger leadership both in Canada and globally.
Plastics really were not a ballot question in the election, and they weren't discussed. I mean, the environment in general was not heavily discussed during this federal election campaign, but our sense was that people still very much care about or are concerned about plastic pollution and care about solutions to plastic pollution. And we decided it was important to test that during the election campaign, even if it wasn't a big issue with a lot of major discussion during the campaign. And we were very happy to discover that really, people's views have not changed in the last year. We did some polling last summer, and it's very much in line with the polling we did. Overwhelming support across the country from every part, people who vote for every party, for the federal government to tackle plastics. In this poll, it was 86% of people support action from the federal government to control and limit plastic pollution, both at home and internationally with our allies and partners. So that is a good result. It's something we've certainly presented to the parties first and will be presenting to the federal government once the cabinet is named and the speech from the throne comes as early as the end of this month. The reason that we focused on the question, do you want the federal government to do this, is that some provinces and the big plastics industry has tried to argue that there is no role for the federal government in combating plastic pollution. I think our polling results show that even in those provinces, public opinion is not with those premiers and with those governments. And so we just really want the federal government to know that people are behind them, you know, no matter what action industry takes to try to stop them. People want to see action on plastics.
Yeah, and 86% is an overwhelming consensus. And I'm so happy you brought that up about industry as well. When I go to the supermarket here, I still find apples and sliced oranges wrapped in plastics. And I feel like those are some really unnecessary kinds of plastics. And I believe you and your team had some great research on this as well. So could you talk to us about that?
2 years ago, we decided to survey grocery store shelves because it was a constant frustration, not only for us in this office, but for supporters who, you know, would send us photos. You know, why is all my fresh produce in so much plastic? And so we're getting this anecdotally, we're feeling it, but let's actually go check the grocery shelves. So we did a thing that I don't think has ever been done before. We worked with a merchandising company to survey grocery store shelves across the country to try to ascertain just how much single-use plastic packaging is on those shelves. So we did the first survey, actually it's just over 2 years ago now, and we published those results 2 years ago. And then we followed up on that last year just to find out, given all the discussion about plastics on grocery store shelves, on some of those key shelves like produce and baby food, has the use of plastics gone down or up? And sadly, what we found is that it's way up for baby food, which is shocking, largely unchanged in produce. Way up on the soups aisle, there's more and more plastic and multi-material packaging, less of the metal cans. So this really has caused us some consternation because after our first survey came out, the federal government said, we're also concerned about all the plastic on their shelves. And so they had started trying to tackle it and actually took up some of the recommendations we made in our report, which is oranges. They do not need to be in plastic. Apples do not need to be in plastic. Actually, there's a lot of things for which we need no packaging and we should get rid of single-use packaging. In other cases, we should find alternatives to single-use plastic. And so we very much supported that and we thought that grocery stores would start to take that seriously. And it was shocking to find it's not only that progress hasn't been made, they're going in the wrong direction. And this is despite the promises that those grocery stores are making to phase out single-use plastics, especially those that are not recyclable.
And switching from, you know, the kinds of plastics that are clearly unnecessary to the kind that are perhaps recyclable and do perhaps have a place in, let's say, a future circular economy. Living in Ontario, I found out really late, much later on, like months into living here, that, oh, they do actually have a deposit return system for beverage containers. And it took me a while to figure that out because I feel like there was some lack of messaging, I suppose. And then there was also the issue of the closest return point now being 3 kilometers away from my house. I wanted to talk to you about how that is the story of Ontario, yes, but I wanted to get your idea of where you think deposit return systems for beverage containers has perhaps gone wrong in Ontario and what can be done to better it.
We do not have a deposit return system for non-alcoholic beverages like water and pop and juice and milk. And what that means, we've estimated, is that about 1.7 billion plastic containers goes into landfills, incinerators, or directly into the natural environment every year in Ontario. Sure, people should be throwing them out. They should be putting them in the recycling bin. But there's really no economic incentive to pick them up if, you know, they do blow away in your picnic or they blow out of your blue box or whatever. So what ends up happening is those are just litter that nobody's bothered to pick up. Whereas at least when you have a deposit system, there's an economic incentive for people to go and collect that litter and redeem the deposit for it, which is helps get those things back. It helps us all be more careful once we paid a deposit on something. And the other great thing about a deposit return is to model a refill system like we see with beer in Ontario. Once you get the container back, you can wash it out and refill it. If you don't get the container back, you can't do that, right? Mm-hmm. So deposit return is sort of can be a key component of a refill and reuse system. But it also is a way of getting containers back that are well sorted, so that they can be efficiently and effectively recycled, including back into beverage containers. So you can see that with aluminum cans, you can see that with even certain plastic bottles are more likely to be recycled back into plastic bottles when they come out of a deposit return system. That's what we need to see in Ontario. And we were very close to getting that because the beverage industry has come on side finally in Ontario. They see the wisdom of having a system like that so that they can get their materials back. Unfortunately, we don't have the government on side to make it happen yet, but we're working on it. I think it will happen sooner rather than later because, again, very high support for the expansion of this program in Ontario.
To end with, I would want to talk about a more hopeful future, so I want to ask you about your hopes, especially with the INC 5.2 approaching, and hopefully we'll have a globally legally binding plastics treaty in our hands very soon. So I want to ask you about what you hope to see both in the treaty, and then how do you envision Canada sort of performing on the global stage?
Well, we do need a global treaty that addresses the full life cycle of plastic. So a treaty that all that the countries who sign on to can agree, yeah, we're going to make less plastic, we're going to use it for things that are socially, medically, economically necessary, and we're not going to use it for things that are unnecessary. We're going to get harmful chemicals out of plastics so that they can be safely used and reused and recycled. And we're going to provide some funding to Global South countries so that they can start cleaning up the mess that all these companies in the Global North have made by sending their, you know, throwaway single-use packaging down there. And because countries are actually also just sending their waste to Global South countries, often disguised as something else, and so it's not even honest about it, which is unfortunate. We're in a weird moment in the world right now where multilateralism and consensus building, we're not really there. We're in a period of, you know, wars in several areas of the world, and it's a tough time for multilateralism. So I think the biggest hope I would have is that governments that do recognize that plastic pollution is a global crisis, which it is, come together and make it clear that we don't even need a consensus to start this. We're going to have a treaty that a majority of countries are signing on to, and we're just going to start making it happen. And you know what? We're going to privilege trade between those countries that care about getting rid of plastic pollution and eliminating harmful chemical additives from our products. That's it.
That's the dream.
Thanks for listening to The ReLoop Brief. Remember, you can check out previous episodes covering a wide range of topics and subjects, and subscribe or follow so you can get details of our next episode.